Scripture says that in from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation,
Amen.
Which is through faith in Jesus Christ. Now everyone knows the next one too after this. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God.
Amen.
Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect.
Amen.
Do I look perfect? You're disappointed already. Throughly furnished unto all good works.
Amen.
When I got saved 30 years ago this year, my mentor handed me this Bible. Not this one, but he handed me this Bible and said, never let it go. That is God's inerrant, infallible word.
Right. Yes.
Live by it.
Yep.
And it has changed my life.
Amen.
In February of this year, well, first, greetings from Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus, Pastor Bevins Welder. We had the privilege of having the Riggs stay with us in our mission conference in February. It was more like a revival than it was a mission conference. I don't speak very loud, so if in the back you can't hear me, just do this, and I will try to elevate the tone a little bit. I was told this is not a microphone. It's just for recording. But anyway, it was like a revival. God, in conferences like these, when all these men and women open the Word, what it does to you on the inside, washes you, prepares your mind, the music prepares you to receive the words of God.
Yeah.
What a perfect opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, in February of this year, the Lord reached down and He called a 54-year-old contractor to go to Moldova.
Amen.
Wow. I'll almost be neighbors with the Riggs. We didn't quite make Poland, but we made Moldova. And a lot of you guys are going, where? Romania, Poland, Moldova, Ukraine, Russia, Eastern Europe. But God reached down and called my wife and I to be missionaries. You're looking at the first missionaries out of our church.
Great Lord.
Yeah, it's exciting.
Yeah.
They're like brothers talking about it. Once you get the word, it's exciting. And the more the Lord is doing things, it's been like a freight train. The first couple of months, it's been just here He comes, and we think we're going to be in Moldova in 2 weeks, you know. I mean, just every day He's doing something fantastic.
Amen.
And the more He does that, and the more I report to our group on Wednesday night, the more I see them doing this number. They're backing away from me. And, you know, the mind starts doing things to you. We're not the inner core of the church. We've been there 6 years. Well, do they not trust us? Are we not called to go? All those things start entering your mind. And then one night, one of the faithful on Wednesday night said, Lynn, watching what God's doing here is actually frightening. It's frightening because we as Christians, we pray for God's will. That's what we want, is God's will. And God does something here. He may do something way over there a couple of years down the road. Look what Abraham went through. Years before God visited him again. And here God's doing something for me every day. I can see it. It's visible. And so they said, this is frightening for us. We don't understand this. That's what I want to talk about today. The next day, after that Wednesday night service, I remodeled convenience stores. And there was a guy that I ministered to 28 years ago, renewed acquaintance, and he said, how do you know it's God calling you? That's right. How do we know it's God calling us? We who sit out here, not the guys who stand up here, we who sit out here don't see it. It's unusual to us. Those who stand up here experience it. That's why they're up here. Well, the one thing that I did not want was my church body frightened, not understanding what God's will is. And so after this brother asked me, how do you know it's God's will? I started going in the Bible going, how do you know the calling is God's will?
Right.
Well, the Bible definitely answers that. I asked my church body, I said, how many times have you ever heard anyone telling you what a calling of God looks like? And they're going, we haven't. I was in Austin last Wednesday, asked the same question. And they're going, we haven't heard. Well, that's what we're talking about tonight. Is how do you know a calling of God is from the Lord? Yeah. Let's go into James chapter 1, verse 27. Now we as Bible believers, we understand this is God's voice. Amen. Right?
Yes, right?
Not every time you pray do you hear the voice of the Lord. Because most of it's written down for us.
Right.
You need to read it. Yep. That's why He gave it to us. It's our instruction manual. It is alive. It's what we need for our daily walk with the Lord. Then there are those big occasions when something large comes up and you pray and then you get a special visitation from the Lord. Well, we are called to go to Moldova. We're joining an existing ministry. The Hamiltons have been in Moldova for 14 years. The fields are right there. People getting saved right and left. They deal with almost 1,000 orphans. That's their primary mission there, is dealing with orphans. So we get to go deal with orphans. If you're seeking what God's will is, the Word will match up to the work. Always does. So, James chapter 1, verse 27, says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. When Brother Paul showed his work, he showed the video we have back here, and he was showing the work. On Thursday night, I went home and I Googled Moldova because I had no clue where Moldova was. Well, I'm 400 miles south of the Rigs. And I wanted to find out what our government said about Moldova. Substandard health care. They get our used medicines. Substandard doctors, substandard schools. Most of the hospitals are closed. Bad roads, bad judicial system, bad court system. There is nothing good in Moldova. 80% of the people there live below poverty level, which is $116 a month. We can't comprehend this. Okay? One out of three people have a viable job. That's over 60% unemployment, underemployment. They're destitute. There is only one thing that they do better than anyone else. They consume more alcohol per person than any country on the face of the planet. And they're proud of that. Okay, so we're going to go deal with orphans who are in a country like this. Does it match up to the Scripture? Do you think they're afflicted?
Yeah.
Absolutely. These children, when they turn 16 years of age, they're kicked out of the state orphanages. It's illegal for them to work till they're 18. Yeah, I know, we're sitting there going, it's stupid. They reserve the jobs for the adults. So what do? They get in trouble. Over almost 60% of the young women wind up in the sex trades. They're sold into Muslim countries as slaves. There's a video going around Corpus Christi, and it says that a good mother will prostitute her daughter in the village she lives in. A bad mother does it in a village the next to it, to where she can't control. They're doing this so they can stay alive. They're doing it for food. We can't comprehend that, especially when you have the mind of Christ. You can't comprehend what's going on. But this is what they're doing to survive. They sell their children. Right and left, they sell their children. I don't understand that. These children are afflicted. So, let's find out what the Lord says about children. Turn to Matthew 18:6. It says, but whoso will offend one of these little ones who believe in me, it were better for him than a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. You think Jesus takes a dim view on hurting children? I would not want to be anywhere around them at the white throne judgment. I won't anyway, because I go with the other judgment. But so I have a foundation that I can build on now. My foundation is they're dealing with orphans. Scripture lines up with the work that's being done. Like I say, they deal with 1,000 orphans a month. What a ministry. They have 4 churches. They have about 150 in their church in Chisinau. They have a Bible Institute. They're the only ones in this area that are allowed to adopt children out of the orphanages. That's the kind of reputation he has there now. It's taken 14 years to get there. But it's awesome. Every week getting reports of people being saved. So this is a foundation that I can build on. So the word lines up with the work. Let's turn to John chapter 16. Because the Holy Spirit as well has to be in there, right? John chapter 16, verses 13 through 15. And it says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine, therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and show it unto you. What's the chain of command here? You have the Lord speaking through the Holy Spirit down to us, right? Isn't that exactly what it was in James chapter 1, verse 27? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, God and the Father. It's the same chain of command. Focus on those first 4 words in James 1 and 27. Pure religion and undefiled. How does God consider taking care of widows and orphans? It doesn't get better than that. I get to be a missionary to go do something that God says is pure. It's undefiled. To me, that's the center of His perfect will for us. Like I say, for a Christian, it doesn't get better than that, because that's what we pray, isn't it? Lord, I want to be in the middle of your perfect will. He showed me what the perfect will is. The Holy Spirit set this up. On Thursday night, when Brother Paul was showing his work, Pam and I were just zeroed in on it. I mean, it was just a bomb could have exploded, the house could have come down, whatever, and we were just zeroed in because the Spirit was showing us something. And he was also dealing with our mother-in-law at the same time. I mean, I want to put a story together here, how God has done everything that he's accomplished so far. You see, Pam and I are not strangers to this type of ministry. In 1987, like I said, I've been saved 30 years, Pam 26. In 1987, we started a ministry through our church in Corpus. It's a Christian service center, food and clothing ministry. Over the 16 years that it was in operation, there were over 20,000 people that went through. Rule number one, gospel witness. Amen. Rule number one. Rule number two, you pray with them. You meet their spiritual needs. After that, physical needs. There were over 700 people that got saved. All the Lord did was say, we want you to do this. It wasn't us that did it. It was the words of God that did it. A lot of those people were assimilated into local churches. That was a big thing for us, is a lot of people, for getting food and clothing, will pray a prayer. Put them in a church. Get them tied in with the pastor wherever they live, so they can grow and mature as a Christian. We have run singles ministries through several churches, nursing home ministries, Mexican church ministries, orphan ministries. for many years in Corpus Christi out in Flower Bluff. Ray Escalante puts a tent up every Sunday. It's called Church Without Walls. He ministers to the homeless, the down and out. And one Sunday a month, we would cook lunch, our singles groups would, for 40 to 70 people. We'd go feed them and then break the bread of life to them. So, I mean, God is not asking us to do anything that He hadn't prepared us for. We go back to 1 Timothy, that the man of God may be perfect. There was a bottle of water here, but if you have a clear glass and you fill it to the top with Coke, the liquid conforms completely to the shape of the glass. Right? It's designed to. That's the biblical term for perfect. God created a perfect work. He created workers' perfect work to fit into that. That's how He does it. He uses this. He uses preaching. He uses teaching to snip, snip, snip. He prunes you. He makes you fit for the work. So when Brother Paul said, look at this, Pam and I are going, yeah, that fits right in with us. He's not asking us to do anything that we don't do right here. On Saturday night, we had dinner with the Hamiltons at church, just like today at lunch, but we had dinner with the Hamiltons. And Brother Paul was getting more in-depth into the ministry. And he told us that he was given 29 acres of orchard in middle of Moldova. He said there was a Southern Baptist lady and a missionary and her husband that had gotten this land. You can see they started a house and started a foundation on it. But in Moldova, foreigners can't own agricultural land. That way you don't sell your country out from underneath you. Well, the government came in, stopped them, said, no more. Well, the brother passed on, and his wife came stateside, and she told her pastor, said, give this land to another Baptist missionary. So he found Brother Paul, called him up, and said, we want to give you this land. And Brother Paul gone, no, let me see what God wants to do with it. Well, he spent some time fasting, praying about it, and the Lord showed him how to take that 29 acres, put 20 homes on it, to put Christian couples with 8 to 10 orphans in them, take the foundation, make a two-story training center. It's a church, it's a school as well. And he called up the lady and said, you know something? We'll take the land. She was 3 hours out from Ohio where he was, and he said, let me come meet you. They went over there to meet with her, and after conversation a little bit, he showed her the drawing and said, she just started weeping. And they said, what's wrong? And she said, that's exactly how my husband had it laid out. That's the providence of God, right? We understand that as Christians that God was dealing with two men, 6 years apart at least, to do the exact same work. Now, I'm a contractor. I was raised a contractor, born a contractor. My dad was a contractor, so I'm a contractor. I look at that and go, that's God's will. I like that. Sunday night came around, but let me back up a second. But he said, we can't build on this property right now because the buildings that are on there, we have to petition the president of Moldova to rezone the property. And I'm going, so? Paperwork. Petition the guy. He said, Moldova doesn't have a president. They haven't had a president for 3 years, at least 3 years. It's a parliament-style government, 50% leans toward the Soviets, 50% toward European. Takes 60% to put in a president. Guess what? Nothing changes, right? Well, Sunday night, I was in the hall, and I was telling Brother Paul that when you get that property rezoned, I'm going to come build those homes. I'm going to build that training center. And I said, but I have a problem. I said, my wife's not going to leave the United States. It's not going to happen. She's in the next room talking with Mrs. Hamilton, and she's saying, I'm ready to come work with those missions, I'm with the orphans. but God's going to have to change my husband for him to leave the States. We're both being called the same time. Well, that night I got home. Mary and Pam went to bed. And I'm just sitting there in the dark, and I'm going, Lord, I made a commitment to you. I made a commitment to a man of God. I can't do it. I can't do it. You see, we have a prodigal son. We have been drugged through a lot of stuff for 15, 16 years. I let this get cold. I let it get hard. And I said, Lord, if this is of you, you got to change this. Because remember what I said about the country? They're drunks, they're destitute, liars, thieves. I'm going to go deal with exactly the same situation that made this hard. And I'm going, God, I can't do it. It has to be you doing it. I can stand before you tonight and tell you, God changed my heart that night. Amen. It was just like the night I got saved. It was the guy on the job the next day looked at me and said, you look different. What happened? Well, God changed my heart. He gave me a love for the people I've never met. He gave me a love for the work I'm going to be doing. And He gave me a much deeper love and appreciation for my wife. I mean, it was just God's providence there. I'm starting to see God doing something, and I'm going, Lord, I want to see everything You're doing here. This is exciting for me. I mean, I want to see every little detail that You're doing in my life right now. Well, there's three things I prayed for that night. The second was Pam's mother was living with us. She came to live with us several years ago, very bad health, and God's providence. She's in great shape now. But if she has another pancreatic attack in a country that has bad hospitals, bad doctors, we'll lose her. And I said, Lord, we got to do something about Mary. And the third thing is, I have a very large house. God's blessed me as a contractor. We have built an estate. And I said, Lord, I don't run off on my debts. As a wise steward of the Lord's money, that's a testimony. Well, God started doing a lot of things. Tuesday morning, I'm a good husband. I cook breakfast every morning. She comes in for breakfast. We're having coffee. And I said, listen, I got to tell you something. I told her what I told Brother Paul out in the hall. And she starts tearing up. And she says, let me tell you what I told Mrs. Hamilton. I start tearing up. We sat there for probably, seemed like 10 years, but it was probably 20 seconds. And just silence letting this sink in. And I said, do you think God's calling us to Moldova now? Remember, we're just like everyone sitting out here. We don't know what it looks like. We've never experienced it. We've had God move in our lives many times, but have never experienced a call. I said that, and we sat there silence again. And I said, you know something? Let's ask Him. That spirit of peace came over us like when you've been through trials and tribulations and God washes over you with that peace. That's what happened. And we're going to Moldova. We get to go to Moldova. We're going to be missionaries. I get excited about this. So the Holy Spirit will always confirm your calling as well. He's going to use Scripture. He's going to change here. When the Riggs were staying with us, they asked us, well, how about coming over? And Pam and I both said, not a chance. We support missionaries. We are not missionaries. We're the givers. We're the not the goers. You know, I'm very comfortable in my seat right over here in my church. I have reserved seating. A lot of you do too. When we were here in February, a lot of y'all sitting at the exact same seat. Okay? That's what we do. We get comfortable. And the Lord's calling us to go do something else. And like I said, I asked the Lord, let me see what You're doing, because it's encouraging to my heart. Well, I told you about Mary. Saturday came around, and Pam and I know the Lord's calling us to Moldova. So I cook lunch. Mary comes downstairs, and we're telling her, you know, God is calling us to Moldova. And she said, I knew that. The Lord told her the same night He told us. You see, several years ago, she would have been, well, who's going to take care of me? You're abandoning me. I mean, it would just... But sitting under our pastor for several years, sitting under this, every morning I see her upstairs reading her Bible. She's going, I'm more worried about you guys over there than I am me. God's going to take care of me. And that's what he did. Brother Paul, I sent him an email on Tuesday, and he said, well, brother, send me a picture. I didn't send him a picture. But he called me back again going, brother, send me a picture. I got people who want to pray for you and they want to know what you look like. So Mary took a picture. We emailed it to the Hamiltons, and they sent it out to everywhere, and they got back to Moldova. This was on Sunday. And then early Monday morning, I get an email back. And Brother John Weldon, who's taking care of the ministries while they're over here, sent an email back, and he said, you're not going to believe this, but several weeks ago, in my Sunday morning prep time, God strongly impressed me to pray for a contractor to come to Moldova. That's where I drive my stake. How does the Holy Spirit work? Father tells the Spirit to tell a man of God to pray. The man of God over here in the United States is presenting a work, and the Spirit is telling me and my wife, that's it. That's my perfect will for your life. Now, will you do it? And we said yes. The next Saturday, I told you things are happening fast all the time. The next Saturday, by this time, we've talked with the Hamiltons, and they realize that we're coming over. They're excited to have a contractor. They got plenty of preachers, but not a one of them can swing a hammer. I can design, engineer, do everything that I built 10 of these churches in Texas. I mean, that's my job is construction. So, almost lost that thought somewhere. The next Saturday, cook lunch again. Mary comes downstairs and I say, Mary, I can't build 20 homes in a short period of time. This may be 2, 3, 4 years at a time, come back. And I said, what do you want to do? Do you want to stay here in Corpus? No relatives there. Or what do you want to do? And she said, I got a call Monday from a niece up in Dallas who's going to a respiratory therapy school, an intense school. And she said, she wants me to come take care of her kids. Wow. That was Monday. Sunday, Sam Gipp was in our pulpit, and he stood up there and he said, talking about holiness, talking about teaching the words of God. And he said, grandmas, if your children are not teaching the words of God to your grandchildren, you go teach them. She has a calling to do that, just like we have a calling to go to Moldova. I mean, it just, I could not have written a script like this. Not a chance. People, you're lying. A couple of days later, Pam and Mrs. Hamilton are emailing back and forth, and she says, P.S., tell Lynn, Moldova has a president. I mean, it's just that I'm sitting there going, wow, God is just one major thing right after another to confirm the calling, to make sure we're not going to back out. We walk by sight sometimes, don't we? Yes, we do. We all do. God is showing me one thing after another after another. Being a contractor, I'm in lumber yards almost every day, or a convenience store, or somewhere getting something. Every day for 2 months, I ran across someone I ministered to in the last 30 years. Every day. I mean, it was just, and every one of them is going, Brother Lynn, this is exciting. What can we do? How can we pray? And how can we support you? How can we support this work? I'm just going, wow, God, you're building a base. You're building a support base. You're building... I've got churches around the nation praying for me that I don't even know about because of associations with some... Send them a prayer card, and then next thing you know, I've got churches praying for me. Praying for us. I mean, it's just God doing what God's doing. Brother Rich Comer, missionary down in Mexico 43 years, was in our pulpit one Sunday morning, and he was preaching on John chapter 4. The Lord woke me up early that morning, as He does a lot of us who need some prayer, and I was just pouring my heart out to the Lord about this calling, about doing this work. And he got up there and he was preaching a great missionary message. Well, Pam had Master Club lunch already scheduled with the kids, so I said, I'm going to take this missionary to lunch because you glean from people who have this kind of experience. 2.5 hours later, you know, we finally part company in the restaurant, and I said, by the way, thanks for preaching what you'd preach this morning. And he said, Lynn, that's not what I was going to preach. He said, as I was walking up to the pulpit, the Lord said, pull this one out. He said, I haven't preached that one in 4 or 5 years. God just confirming. The Word confirms your call. Always will. You're drawn to something. The Holy Spirit will draw you to it. The Word will take you to it. That's how God does it. That's what these conferences are for. To soften your heart so you can receive the Word and receive a calling. That's how God does it. That's what He's done with us. Our pastor confirmed our call. If he didn't, I wouldn't be here. At first it was when I emailed him. He had a bunch of meetings that day and he's going, the woods? We're seasoned saints. You would think your first missionaries out of your church are going to be someone right out of PBI and go set the world on fire, not our age. By the way, I'm 55 today. She asked me what I wanted for my birthday, and I said, I want to preach on my birthday. Greatest present I could have. But the pastor, since we're the first missionaries, he is counseling with other pastors who have many missionaries. He's setting our path right. Originally, we're going, you know something, we're not doing deputation. We're going to sell our huge house. We're just going. And the Lord's going, you're doing deputation. Brother Paul said, it's the instrument that God uses to train missionaries. And I'm going, I'm a contractor, Lord. No, we're missionaries. I'm like you, brother. I love leading someone to the Lord. That's the greatest joy in my life, is leading someone to the Lord. And then the biggest confirmation of all is the Hamiltons. They don't know us from anybody. Okay? I had 30 minutes worth of conversation with Brother Paul. That was it. I mean, this is where he gets good. Since he has a contractor, after several weeks of emails and phone calls, he said, and I'm going, I'm ready to come build those houses. And he's going, no, no, no. There's other stuff I want you to do first. You remember I told you the girls and boys are kicked out of the orphanages at 16? He says, we're building a Hannah house. We're taking an existing house that's behind the church, and I want you to remodel it for 12 of the orphan women and 3 American sponsors. When you get that done, then I want you to build a building on the lot right next door. The bottom floor will be for the printing press, because they print the Gospel of John and Romans in tracts, restrooms for the men, and there's going to be about 15 of the 16 to 18-year-old men upstairs. Now, these men are my construction crew. They are. They're in trade school. When they get out, Brother Paul said, it's your responsibility to take these men and show them how to make a living.
That's right.
If you have one of my cards, our cards, that's us in front of our favorite Mexican restaurant. So when we get to Moldova, we're going to look at that and go, remember when? You're looking at the only employee of the Anchor of Hope Construction Ministry. I'm it. It's my responsibility to take these men and make them to where they're one out of a three that have a job.
Amen.
I mean, God just keeps getting better and better and better. And then when I have that project done, I want to take where the basement is in the church, where we moved the printing press out of, and convert that over, showers, restrooms, bunks, for another 12 to 14 boys, 16 to 18 group. So we'll have at least 35 to 40 out of this age group. I already have a company set up in Moldova. I've never been there, but I have a construction company already registered.
Wow.
I mean, God's just opening the doors right and left. So, I mean, it's just one of those things that He said, I want you to do all this first.
Yeah.
I think the plan is we're going to get the girls saved, the boys saved, Christian couple, the 20 homes that are out on the orchard area. We have Christian couples to put out there. They have their family, and they can also raise orphans. God's got a plan.
Amen.
Another part of what I see a need for is I have some friends who have some money. I told you they sell their children. I want to be able to redeem these children back if possible. You can buy a kid for $50. There's one on the video that was sold for $29. If I can redeem these children back, put them into safety, they all get a biblical education. They get trade school. They're taken care of. You think they'll get saved? Yeah, that's right. They will get saved. Then Brother Paul said, when we get all that done, then you go to the orchard. We're going to adopt orphans, since we can. We're going to have a family. I told Pam she can finally have a little girl that she wants. And I said, the rest are big boys like this. That's my construction crew. So when Dad gets a little older, he's going, you boys go do that work, you know? Sounds like the Lord has a plan.
Amen.
How did all this start? Here am I, Lord. Send me.
Amen.
That's it. When you hear what's going on tonight, when you hear the word all week long, when you've been praying, what do you think the Lord is preparing you for? You don't have to go eight time zones away. There's work right here in this town. There's some neighbors that may not have ever heard of gospel witness. The calling is not just missionaries. This is a mission conference. God calls you to do what He's equipped you to do. I first told Brother Paul, I said, I'm not doing this. But you know something? This is the best story of my life. Being able to be in God's pure and undefiled will. How often do we get to do that? Not very often. Usually when we get in the middle of something, we mess it up. God says, this is pure, undefiled. We found a perfect will for us to go do. So when the Lord calls you, because you will as a Christian, right? That's right. If you're not a Christian, you'll never see this calling. Because this is only reserved for God's children. So that's the first thing, is if the Holy Spirit's saying, wow, listen to that. You want something like that, you have to be a child of God first. John 1:12, as many as received Him, to Him He gave the power to become the sons of God. That's what you have to do first.
Yeah.
When God calls you to be saved, get saved. When God calls you into ministry, don't be like some of the people in my church backing off going, I don't understand this. Think back when the 54-year-old contractor stood up, 55, excuse me, stood up here and said, this is how it looks like. So when you see it happening, rejoice, embrace it. It's an exciting, exciting ride.
Amen.